Finding the right cleat can be transformative. Believe me, I've worn plenty during my career. So getting the right balance is crucial. The cleat needs to feel good on your foot, but also feel good connecting with the ball. The New Balance Furon 7 Plus is built with both of those points in mind, offering overall comfort and precise striking in the game's fastest moments. Because, as I learned the hard way, because I didn't possess much of it, speed matters in soccer. That's why the Furon 7 Plus is built for accuracy and precision at rapid pace, and is engineered specifically for use on firm ground. Why is this the ideal cleat, I hear you ask? Well, not to get too scientific, but the Furon 7 Plus offers a lightweight yet supportive hypo-knit with mesh lining upper construction and is paired with offset lacing for a truer strike of the ball, which is a long way of me saying that your game will immediately get better when these are on your feet. Learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome, welcome in to Attacking Third. I'm Jenny Chu here with Lisa Carlin, Sandra Herrera, and Darian Jenkins. This is an immediate reaction to the Women's Champions League. We have our semifinalists set. What did you guys think about the games yesterday and today? Darian, just because you're in my box, actually, that's the opposite of the, you're in the box next to me. What's your initial reaction?
The games were good. I wanted an upset, though. I really, really wanted an upset in some way, and we didn't get it. I think a lot of these teams playing at home was a really big advantage. Those are hard stadiums to go and muster up the energy to play against and go in with a lot of confidence. And I think we saw just the teams that advanced dominate. It's kind of what we all expected to happen, I think. If you looked at this, this is would have been someone's makeup of the next round, but yeah. They were good games. We got a lot of goals. They were good. I still wish we got a little bit more, though. I was here for the drama. We didn't get too much of it.
Yeah, I totally respect that. I think the one upset that we maybe thought we could have seen, well, at least I thought, was going to come with Benfica-Lyon. And, mm-hmm. I mean, it wasn't at all. Lyon stepped it up. I know we're going to talk about it all, but that was the one that I was like, Benfica, this is your chance. You can do this.
I'm feeling like I'm thinking back to when I'm thinking back to the earlier. Yeah. The earlier kind of predictions we were making, we were like talking about the draw a little bit. We were like, what would be our dream draws? And we wanted to see Häcken against PSG. We wanted to see Chelsea go up against Ajax. And, you know, look, we'll get into it. There was some competitive football here in both legs, but not enough for the upset.
Yeah.
All right, let's get straight into it because I know you guys are just heaving at, is that even a word, heaving at getting in. Let's start with Ajax against Chelsea. Leg one, that was a 3-0 win for Chelsea. And then this one was a 1-1 draw. Chelsea go through on a 4-1 aggregate. Mayra Ramirez scores her first European goal for Chelsea as well. Sandra, you want to get us started on Ajax v. the Blues? I know you're a big Blues fans as well.
Look, we got a rep, right, Jenny? Me and you, we were never nervous, right? Maybe, I don't know. Look, it's a 90 minute game. You know, it's two legs for a reason. And I'm sure maybe we'll even get into a little bit of this with Häcken and PSG. But for, you know, all of the lauding that we can do and the credit that we can give for getting started off on the right foot, putting together a good string of like an opening 15 minutes, you know, tackling your game in phases. Hey, here's a strong 15 minutes. Here's a strong 20 minutes. When things come push to shove, good teams find a way. And I think compared to that first semifinal the second leg of the quarterfinal, you kind of see Chelsea, even though maybe there are those moments of pressure, maybe there's those, you know, phases or stretches of uncomfortability that good teams find a way. And I think like we just saw a lot of that in some of these second legs of the quarterfinals when it kind of came to just really, really stamping your way through. Mayra Ramirez, I mean, just a player continues to show like it making it like those are players that I think managers and coaching staff just love. Like you're just like, okay, yeah, this player is out here making me look like a genius.
Yeah.
You know, unless you're someone who's like, you know, deeply embedded in the, you know, the Liga FS streets of like, you know, Spanish football, maybe a player, you know, like Mayra Ramirez outside of club, outside of, you know, this window, this World Cup window that we just saw in 2023, maybe might not have been on a lot of people's radar. So the fact that she's getting into the mix, producing in general, but also when she's asked, like getting a significant minutes in a tournament like Champions League, massive.
I have to give a shout out to Aggie Beaver-Jones as well.
Yep.
I thought she was incredible in that game. I think we've seen her really grow in confidence, and that was a game where her 1v1s that she just kept going, using both feet, cutting inside, putting her body between the player and the ball, but still maintaining complete control, was so fun to watch, and I really like her connection she's building with Mayra Ramirez. I think we're going to see some more goals between these two, but she was a player to highlight for me because every time she got on the ball, wherever she was on the field, she was making two or three people at a time, dancing around. Like she's a player that like you enjoy watching, you want to play with. And yeah. I think I'm excited to see her in the next round as well.
It's taken some time for Beaver Jones to get to this level of confidence because of her play in the Super League. And honestly, Sam Kerr going down. When that injury happened to Kerr, we talked about the other players on Chelsea that needed to step up. And Aggie Beaver-Jones was one of the biggest ones that needed to kind of shoulder some more of that pressure to score goals. And you're exactly right. Her confidence throughout this match on the ball was really impressive. But I was like impressed with Ajax throughout this one. Like obviously Chelsea goes through on aggregate, but it was 1-1 at the end of the day. And Ajax could have had another one. They're high press.
Yeah, that funky one at the beginning.
Yeah. It was like high press against Musovic coming way out of her line and ends up just poorly clearing it right into the Ajax forward. And the way that the time moved so slowly from the time that ball hit off of her to when it was rolling towards the goal, I like felt like I was living in slow motion. And then it just like slowly bounces off the post and goes out.
They're so lucky.
Yeah. That would have changed a lot of the game if that happened. And I think Ajax felt really confident at that point because by the 30th minute, they could have had two goals. They had two really, really good opportunities and chances. And then Mayra Ramirez just like kind of silences their confidence in the 33rd minute getting that opening goal.
Well, I will say Chelsea showed some weaknesses in the back. I think they overplayed a lot. And we're like under hitting balls to each other, putting each other in really poor positions, playing the incorrect foot. Mistakes we don't see often from Chelsea, where I think Ajax, maybe Barcelona now, is going to look at that film and be like, we need to capitalize on that. We need to press them because they didn't really have clean solutions playing out of the back.
Yep. I would even argue in their attacking end too, they didn't have a lot of clean solutions. Like the goal that came from Wrighton to Ramirez that ultimately ended up in a goal, that sequence happened 3-4 times in the box for Chelsea, but the ball got caught under their feet or it was behind the player. The pass was behind the runner. And then there was looking for another pass and the run wasn't made. There was like so many disjointed moments from Chelsea.
I agree.
I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that they had to make six changes heading into this game. You know, we talk about the depth that Chelsea has on the blue side. So that connectivity aspect, Sandra, I see you nodding your head here, has a lot to do with the fact that things aren't clicking, right? Especially the back line. Musovic is playing in goal, but she hasn't been playing in goal the last few games because they have so many options. I think it was Hannah that was playing in goal in the past couple of games. Musovic comes in, makes a couple of mistakes in the first half, but then she has a couple of big saves at the end of the match. But I think that, you know, when you're not playing in games constantly, because there is that depth of roster, you come into these, you know, potential problems. We'll call them problems right now, but obviously they're through. Sandra, what do you think?
I mean, I think it's an important note that you touch on. I mean, Emma Hayes touched on it a little bit coming out of these games, you know, kind of really noting Musovic specifically. And that has been, you know, one of those challenges for for Emma Hayes as a head coach. You know, she has spoken about that, the fact that they wanted to build what they built at Chelsea, but sometimes that comes with making those hard decisions and managing player minutes and managing, you know, the feelings and egos that might come into play with that when you have to communicate players and to players and their roles and hope that they still remain effective in those roles, you know? And I think even we saw that maybe come into play in a match like this. And sure, aggregate exists and maybe they technically wrapped things up in that first leg, but you have this second leg now, which is another, you know, to a point that Lisa and Darren are making, that this is highlight film for Barcelona to just take and just eat it up and just chew it up. So, you know, in that sense, you're going to have to try to make your own adjustments as the team going in against what are considered the heavyweights and the favorites in this tournament.
And rotation for Emma Hayes, Jenny, that you're mentioning, yes, six changes, but Lauren James didn't see a single minute. She is now coming off 90 minutes of rest, which is really big for Chelsea. So that it's like an embarrassment of riches that Chelsea has with how much depth they have and everything. And that's a huge factor moving forward for Chelsea, because even Barcelona, they only have one game of film against Ajax, right? I mean, obviously there's a lot of film out there on Lauren James, but most recently, like, I don't know, it's a good weapon that Emma Hayes still has to play in her back pocket, a fresh Lauren James.
Yeah, Lisa, I think it's a great point you make that, you know, Ajax deserves some credit for this specific match. And the fact that they had no Lily Johannes on the roster as well, such a big player and playmaker within their midfield, and to have them press high on a Blues team like that and to see, you know, going with the draw 1-1, good on them. And good to see, you know, going up against those heavyweights and having the, I don't know what the word is, but the risqueness of pressuring high on that. So good to see there. Why don't we move on to the next match here in Benfica against Lyon. The first leg was a 1-2 Lyon win. Second leg, 4-1 Lyon win. Lyon go on with a 6-2 aggregate win. And for me, the biggest thing was Cascarino. I mean, the attacking threat of this player, her goal, everything, the way there was an absolute goal last. So laces through the ball, 3 goals in 2 matches for her. Where are you standing on this one, Lisa?
Yeah, Cascarino had a really good 2 legs against Benfica. Frankly, she looked really strong on the ball. And this was coming back from an injury, right? Getting first starts in this Champions League play against Benfica. To start this match, Lyon had 3 really, really good chances in the opening 13 minutes to score, and they didn't. And that at that point in the match, I'm like, okay, Benfica, like, this is your opportunity. Now capitalize on this momentum and continue to fluster Lyon in their attacking chances. But it's difficult to do, because when Lyon attacks, it is so it comes at you in such waves and in such a variety, because there's shots from distance, there's crosses into the backs, there's little lofted passes to get in behind the back line. And Benfica was frankly just lucky that Lyon didn't score in those opening 15 minutes. They were very lucky to kind of just say, like, okay, can we hold on for how long? How long can we ultimately hold on? And it's Cascarino who has the clever little play with Liss Omer, who's really unselfish, to ultimately play the simple pass. And that's what it came down to for Lyon, playing more simple when they're in their attacking end, looking for that one extra final pass to make it very easy play and an easy goal. And once that happened, I think things were going to start to open up for Lyon, and Benfica responds immediately. It was like an immediate reaction from Aladou in a transition moment, which is how Benfica capitalized against Lyon in the first leg, transition moments, getting them unorganized in the back. But it kind of crazy to think that by halftime it was 1-1, and it easily could have been 4-1. I'll give Benfica one, but it easily could have been 4-1 for Lyon.
Yeah, I agree. Something you brought up, Yusamer being very unselfish. I wanted to see her be more selfish. Sometimes I think she was laying the ball off or not taking a shot herself when there was windows to do it. And she's such a good finisher. I hope in this next and the semis, we see her be a little bit more selfish and be the 9, like really make that position hers, because there's so much competition on that team. She's not always the starter. She's not always the number 9 if everyone's healthy, because Ada Hegerberg is out. But you're right. I think I don't think Benfica had an answer I think they needed a healthy Jess Silva on sooner. When she came in, she attracted a lot of players from Lyon defensively, opened up some gaps, but it was too late in the game. Benfica had lost the wind in their sails a little bit. Lyon deserved that win. Cascarino, player of the match by far. She's incredible to watch. I love seeing that she's confident and healthy, really racking up her minutes. And yeah, Lyon deserved that. They're so comfortable in these high pressure situations that it really wasn't a question on if they were going to win this or not.
Yeah, I think for me, similar to Chelsea, that was the same vibe. I think you get to these moments and stretches in the games where you're just kind of like, good for this other team. Good for the team that's considered the underdog. Good for these teams that we want to see deliver the upset. But somewhere along the way, these good opportunities that they find themselves in the attacking third, the missed chances, it just provides more opportunity for the team that has been there before, for the team that does have that experience to kind of, you know, you don't want to allow that team with that experience, with that bench, to turn that pressure into something that becomes cool for them. You don't want that team to be like, it's cool. This pressure you're giving me or these nervy moments, it's cool. I'm playing out of it. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. And we end up seeing that, you know, from Lyon. So tough to see some of the teams that we have been, in, you know, enjoying watching along the way. But this is when the goods get really good in knockout rounds.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's go on because there's so many matches to cover. But Haken against PSG. I know that, Sandra, you were rooting for Haken. I guess we all were, kind of just that underdog aspect. Leg 1, 1-2 PSG win. Leg 2, 1-0 PSG win. That is, wait.
Yeah.
5-1 in aggregate. So I was looking at the stats on this match, right? And PSG has 644 passes to Hawkins, 338. And I know that, you know, we can't lean too much on the stats, but you're laughing here, Sandra.
Yeah. I mean, you're not, look, the concept of when, you know, you don't have that much of the ball, you better make those chances count. you know, when you get him. And again, I think this, we're also turning this into a little bit of a postmortem, right? Farewell to the teams that we fell in love with along the way. And
yeah,
and this is Hagen. We enjoyed watching that. This was a team that showed us that they were going to, this was their recipe for success. And it got them to this point. And tragically, you know, in the second legs, when things are even tighter than they were in the first legs, maybe you see that just sort of kind of fall to the wayside. You know, I think maybe kind of looking at the first leg, there's still optimism there. You know, you're not, there's not such a massive, you know, goal aggregate as things kind of shift into the home side, into the home field advantage. But I think for Hagen, this isn't going to be, you know, this is clearly not going to be the last time that we're going to see this team probably reach this sort of point in the tournament. But, you know, I do wonder where they go from here in terms of having, you know, sort of arrived right to this moment. How are they going to utilize this experience in the coaching staff in the front office to try to recruit more or get more players involved in their program? Because I would imagine that there's plenty of players that they have kept an eye, that other scouts have kept an eye on for Hagen as well, for the opportunity of player loans and things like that. So you hate to see it come to an end. But, you know, why, if something is working for you, you know, why try to break that up a little bit, you know, even if you do get to the knockout round. So I respect that they stay true to who they were. Just wasn't enough in the end.
I mean, shout out. Hands down to Chiwenga for PSG, though.
Like, oh, yeah.
Guys, she's so good, so strong on the ball, playing back to goal, inviting the defender's presence and saying, hey, try to body me right now as this passer comes into me. And I'm just going to make you look silly, spin you. She was turning, running at them. And by the time the opening goal came for PSG and Chiwenga, it was like, finally, it was like the air had finally been released from the balloon, because it was just constant pressure from PSG. It had been coming for so long. I think that her presence up top with Katoto back in the starting lineup, it's lethal. That partnership went healthy and fit and able to go for a hard 90 minutes it's
not
unstoppable.
Fair. It's a cheat code, Lisa. Mm-hmm. It's a cheat code.
Yeah.
For sure. It's
too hard.
Well, we're just talking about Chiwenga. There's also Maria Antoinette Katoto. It's
and Karchawi, who is all over the pitch.
The funny, they work so well together.
They do, but it's funny because I don't think that was even PSG's best game.
I was gonna say
I wasn't expecting average from them. Yeah, it felt like a very average game. Like, it wasn't a very convincing. They should have dominated that game more than they did.
I think the fact that Jenny opens up with those stats a little bit in this highlights that point even more. It's like, so wait a minute, like, you know, why wasn't it? Yeah. And it's funny.
Why didn't Katoto have 9 goals and Chiwenga 11?
Yeah, like, exactly.
Well, you know what? Darian, I love that you say that, because my notes say like Katoto needs to be more clinical. Like, there was multiple opportunities where she's like right in front of the goal and I'm like, finish it. Like this is, you know, you've gotten too many opportunities to kind of, obviously she does get her goal eventually, but I was thinking, you know, that in a game against a higher opponent, say in the semifinals, you got to be more clinical on those. And, you know, Lisa, you were talking about the first goal for Chiwenga. I will say the ultra section after the goal, the bouncing is like legendary to watch. And I think that that deserves a shout out, because to see PSG's ultras, Darian, I'm not sure how much you experienced them and whether that was the case when you were there as a player. Incredible.
Yeah, no, they have great supporters. I love the energy of what's around PSG and how much they ride for their players. But yeah, to my point earlier, it was a very average game from PSG, in my opinion. I think they could have scored a lot more goals. They're a far better team than what they showed. I hope that we see that against Lyon, maybe because they already, you know, when you're playing a team that you know you're a little bit better, then you do lose a little bit of steam sometimes. If everything's not just right, you kind of go through the motions a little bit, and it felt that way sometimes watching PSG play this match. So I hope everybody is on Karchawi and Chiwenga's energy level, because I think that those were the two players for me that really took this game in stride and led the team. Katoto, yes, she's great. I don't think it was her best performance by any means. She still scored, which is crazy to say. Like this team is so stacked. They need to bring it into the next round against Lyon because, you know, this is a classic.
But I think they will.
French matchup.
I think they will because of the rivalry and that it's not a league game and it is the Champions League semifinal. And like, how is it that these two teams are playing each other in this manner again? Like, it is just, I think they will, right? Because they know the competition and they
it's know Champions League.
Exactly. Yeah. And they know the stakes. And you do level up when you get those rivalry games.
But that's what's so funny is they still were crazy good. And it was an average
game.
Being
their best.
Like a 3-0. Like nothing to laugh at. And
what am I critiquing?
Homie, you could have had like five more goals.
Well, that tells you a lot about what could be coming for PSG. Darian, with you saying that it wasn't their best, and obviously three goals, is quite impressive. That 5-1 aggregate, 6-2 aggregate, 5-1 aggregate. Gosh, look at me and my numbers. But Corbin Albert worth a shout. She had a great goal as well from pretty far out. Shall we move on to the next one? Yeah, 5-1 aggregate PSG. Bran against Barcelona, leg 1-2 Barcelona win, leg 2-3-1 Barcelona win. That is a 5-2 aggregate for Barcelona, and they are through. And we talk about passing numbers. I don't know why that's like the one stat that kind of grabs my attention more so than possession. I think it's typically aligned, but the amount of passes that Barcelona can share within their team, 660 passes for them, Braun with 363. Woo! Quite a bit to talk about in this one. When we talk about Barcelona, there's so much attacking talent. Lisa, do you want to get us started here?
I sure do, Jenny. I mean, this is history being made, right? Because six straight Champions League semifinal for Barcelona. They dominate in different fashions. But the number one player for me during this match was Gram Hansen. She looked so good on the ball, just involved in what felt like every single attacking creative chance that Barcelona had, whether it was really staying wide, utilizing her width all the way on the side touchline to receive the ball, send early services in, or I mean, to two of the goals ultimately that came for Barcelona were because of Gram Hansen and what she was able to do, receiving the ball, going at defenders 1v1, inviting that defender to come into her, take it end line, and then get her head up and try to pick out a teammate. And two of them, a little lucky bounces, but they end up in the back of the net. But she looked really good. She was dynamic. And stat-wise, she's involved in the majority of Barcelona's goals, whether it's getting assists or scoring them herself. And when she is clicking and has those really good moments and really good movements, kind of in addition with Bonmatí in those little half spaces, it looks really good and really, really unstoppable for Barcelona. It's hard to mark her and keep an eye on Gram Hansen because she's constantly trekking and she just understands so well where the spaces are on the pitch and how they fluctuate throughout a match, whether she needs to be wider, she needs to tuck into the pocket or stretch a little bit or come back and receive it. And it's very fun to watch her. I was just like mesmerized by Gram Hansen this match.
She's like I feel like we can have a whole episode about Gram Hansen, but it just sort of feels like when it's come to Champions League, like she's almost like a different beast. Like you sort of see this machine, like just sort of like switch on in her brain and she just like goes off. And like, yes, we've got Bonmatí that we've been singing her praises and she's the current best in the world. But I think like we're watching in real time Gram Hansen compete for that title as well as the world's best.
Wow. Yeah. What a statement, Sandra. I like that a lot. Sorry. Go ahead, Darian.
No, I totally agree. And poor Svenheim on Bran. Oh God. That is the worst. You're in a highlight reel for all of the wrong reasons. a lot of people that go up against Carolina Gram Hansen are. Yeah. But I agree with everything. Singing her praises, she is in her bag right now. I think she's leading this team. She leads basically every single attack, you know, just to get into the box because she's going to achieve that 1v1, just try to get into a space where you can connect and see a lane where she can pass the ball to you and you're likely going to score. I did have a little bit higher hopes for Brown. I thought they had some short-lived joy for about 10 minutes and it was zapped pretty quick, but this team is unstoppable. I don't know unless you're very clean on transitions and can kind of expose them in certain ways where we've seen them concede goals. I don't know how you stop this team when they have Raufo, Puteas, all these players, Graham Hansen, Bonmati in form and gelling together at just the right time and cadence of this tournament. I don't know how you stop them.
And Onya Batale off the bench, Periuelo off the bench.
Scary.
Scary. So the way I take my notes during these games sometimes is determine I track the corners. Just if it's opening minute and a team already has a corner kick, like, okay, a little check mark. Like, it just kind of checks some things off. Taking my notes during this game, I was like, oh, opening 2 minutes, 2 corner kicks for Barcelona. Okay, 3, 3, and 3. 5 corners in the opening 6 minutes for Barcelona.
That kills your mentality defensively. Yes. That, I mean, it kills your entire flow.
How exhausting is that also to be defending constantly set piece after set piece and your brain is working so hard. Okay, how are we organizing on this?
When you don't get to touch the ball, you get no connectivity to your team. So,
and all 5 corners were taken in a variety, like in a different way, whether there was 2 at the corner, whether there was 1 at the corner, whether it was driven near post, lofted far post, driven to the penalty spot, played short. It was just constant pressure. And Braun, they honestly did a pretty good job of getting to those first balls and winning the 50-50s that were the first ones. But every single second ball fell to Barcelona and they were wide open. And it was like, just not enough there for Braun. And you could tell that they were exhausted, especially by the end of that game. I was like, oh gosh, they're just like, they have no spacing defensively. They're running around like chickens with their head cuts off, just like trying to keep track of where everyone is.
Rest in peace to all the team. Like I said, all the teams we fell in love a little bit with along the way. Yeah. Hacken, Braun, Ajax.
To all the teams I've loved before. Benfica.
Yep. 100%.
Amazon Sorry. Prime show. What is that? Beautiful. So, we love to see it. Barcelona, obviously reigning champions, and their coach is leaving at the end of the season as well to come to the NWSL, worth mentioning. Let me just go ahead and run through the semifinals. Barcelona is up against Chelsea and Lyon will be against PSG. Quite the couple of matchups there.
Written in the stars.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
It is now time to move over to the news, and I'm sorry to do this, but Gotham FC and U.S. Women's National Team Midge Purse announced that she tore her ACL. We commented on it after the match about kind of what happened in that whole scenario. I'm going to go ahead and read a little bit of what Midge Purse said there. I'm heartbroken to no longer be available for my season with Gotham FC or for Olympic selection with the U.S. Women's National Team. No, I'm rooting for you both all year long, Purse said, though you may not see it. I'll be doing everything I can to get back on the field. Just initial reactions to Midge and how hard she had been working and kind of her resurrection on the national team and then to be hit with this devastating news, Darian.
Yeah, I mean, my heart breaks for Midge. I was texting her earlier and just sending her lots of love and healing energy. It's a tough thing. The timing is devastating. That injury is devastating, as it could happen anytime, but especially this year, because I think we saw her really grow in a way that was so influential on and off the pitch. I don't think she's not going to be quiet. We're going to see her everywhere. She's going to be heavily involved in the game. That girl does not stop working. She does not stop promoting women's soccer. So I think she's going to be heavily involved, but she's got so much good energy going towards her that, and she's such an athlete and good person that it's going to be okay. She's going to come back from this better than she even was before, because I've had a terrible injury as well. And if that taught me anything, it made me appreciate the games in different ways that I hadn't have thought of before. Mm-hmm. totally elevated my game to slow down a little bit. And I think that she's probably going to come back with that same sort of hunger and bite that we were just seeing her have times 10. So Midge, if you see this, we love you, sending you all the healing energy possible. You're going to be okay.
It's a heartbreaker, hands down, heartbreaking, especially at the kind of the point in her career where she is right now, coming off of a huge championship performance in the NWSL, winning the championship, her performance at the national team in the W Gold Cup, and really on the rise. It is terrible. It's humbling to some extent, right? To kind of never take for granted every day that you have and every time you step on the pitch, and injuries are terrible. But I think that with Midge, you could tell even in the match for Gotham against Portland when she got injured. The first initial injury happened and she was back out on the field. She wanted to keep playing. Like, how much she wants to do this and how much she cares about the game, that when she went down the second time just before halftime, it was like she knew, like, I'm out. Like, I need to get out. Yeah. I'm out. It's terrible. Yeah. Like, it truly gave me chills watching it and broke my heart.
Yeah, I think that we're all so heartbroken for Midge, and knowing her personally, and like Darian said, it's so hard because you've seen like her comeback, right? Like not making the World Cup team and then how amazing of a year she had within, you know, we mentioned there the MVP performance, the wins, the W Gold Cup performance that we saw from her as well. Like just everything for it to be now, right before the Olympic roster that she was fighting to be back on and kind of like on the edge of, is devastating. But you know, I think we've all sent our energy towards her, and she's surrounded by good people, and I think that that's really important during a time like this. And there's really nothing, there's nothing that you can say to her or to a player that is facing something like this right now. But I think, you know, Juan Carlos Amoros spoke out about this, and he talked about protecting the players, and then that becomes a talking point within the international competition starting with 1 week after preseason began for NWSL. And he said, you know, we're seeing the consequences now. We got Rose, Lynn injured last week. I think it was Dabinia in Kansas City. Now we have Midge. And these players, unfortunately, from my experience, the clubs are going to keep paying the cost for that competition. Unfortunately, in this case, it was Midge. Is that something that we can kind of point to and say, maybe that wasn't the best way to integrate, because we're now seeing these muscle injuries and now an ACL. An ACL is unspeakable, and we don't really know the research behind how it happens, but obviously those muscle injuries that Juan Carlos Amoros is referencing and has talked about in multiple press conferences about the W Gold Cup being at a time when these players' bodies weren't ready, and now we're seeing the effects of that. Do you think that that's something worthy of talking about when it comes to Midge's injury?
I mean, I think it's of no, because he's been pretty vocal about it for a while now. You know, and I think the subject point of a heavy match load for a player is always going to be an important topic and should be discussed about until it is solved. But in the meantime, as these things continue to roll out, whether they are lengthy regular seasons or cup games that run concurrent or before or during or after a season, or national team responsibilities. In the meantime, it also falls on team staffs, team coaches to try to communicate things effectively with players, understanding their roles and trying to manage those minutes. So I don't think there's, unfortunately, one solution, you know, for this. But while I appreciate Juan Carlos Amoros kind of being vocal and like speaking up for his players, this is also a tournament that featured many, many, many players, and not just Gotham FC players. And it is a terrible thing that we find ourselves once again on an episode of Attacking Third talking about an ACL injury to a player that was just like in rising form. I forget which episode it was, if it was the Gold Cup roster reaction or wishlist or prediction or what, but I was like, Midge Purse is the most informed forward on the team right now. Like, of course this player is going to be part of this forward core right now. It's, and it absolutely devastating that this injury comes at this time. It's giving, like, it's triggering almost. Like, it's giving, like, Mal Swanson going down before the World Cup. Like Mitch Purse going down before the Olympics. Like, that is not a scenario that you find yourself wanting to talk about, whether if it's in Gotham's case, losing one of their best attackers, or for the national team case when they are trying to prepare for an Olympics. Also, just, you know, the vulnerability that players share and give to the public when they literally owe us nothing at all. Like, their job is to be a pro athlete and a player and show up, and they do that. So the fact that, you know, she even wants to share a bit of her own update, you know, with the public, I think is very kind. And, you know, just, I hope, you know, her recovery is not just swift, but, like, it is the recovery that it's the recovery that she deserves, essentially, like, because these types of injuries are always so tricky and everybody's body is different. So hopefully this path that she is going to be on right now. Yeah, of course, you want it to be swift, but you want it to be correct as well. And only she, her team, you know, her medical team are going to know, you know, ultimately what's best for her. So absolutely devastating that this happens. I think it's easy to take a look at, you know, match load and say the Gold Cup is why, you know, Midge tore ACL. There's people who are going to say she played on turf in Portland. That's why she tore ACL. There's going to be a bunch of things that people want to be reactive to and say, this is why this happened. But the thing is, it's like, I don't know if there's actually one thing that actually occurred. You know, there's going to be folks who are even like, why did she go out there a second time? And, you know, et cetera. And there's going to be this period of anger and like wanting to point fingers and things like that. And I don't know if that's necessarily going to be helpful at this moment to the players specifically. But, you know, we often say a lot, or at least me, I say a lot, you know, when it comes to talking about women's soccer or NWSL, I'm always like, I love it here. But whenever we get to these moments where we're talking about ACL, I'm like, I hate it. I hate it here. Like, get me out. It's tough whenever we have to come out here and do this.
Yeah. All right. Well, we will send our best wishes to Midge, and we'll continue to follow her recovery as well, because I would love to stay updated. I know she doesn't owe us anything, but just the personality that she is, I love following everything that she does. So hopefully we'll get an eye on her recovery and see how she's doing. Let's move over to Sophia Smith. She signed a contract extension with the Portland Thorns, and she is now the highest paid NWSL player on an annual basis. She signed through 2025 season and an option for the 2026 season. In four seasons, she's led the Thorns to 5 trophies, and she tallied 40 goals across all competitions. Lisa Bethal said, Soph is a generational talent and we're excited for the future we'll build together. Obviously, Bethal family in charge of kind of re-signing her and deciding to put that much money behind her. Lisa, Sophia Smith, just really a generational player, like she mentioned there, goal-scoring ability just on the rise, World Cup looks, everything potentially positive for Sophia Smith. How big is it for her to be the highest paid NWSL player?
It's huge, right? She's a young player as well that has a really high ceiling. I think a little bit more so than the money to some extent is the fact that she's staying in Portland, because this is a player that's on the cusp of being a free agent and could have had options to go a lot of places and to spend so much time. I mean, she was drafted to Portland in 2020 and now she's there and she's kind of made a name for herself and she's grown so much. She's seen that club go through a lot. She talked about how having this new ownership in the Bethal family and Lisa Bethal, she thinks the club is already going in a better direction than what it was before. And she wants to be part of that. She doesn't want to miss that. I think that says a lot about the culture at Portland. I think a conversation is like, okay, could she go to other clubs, right? As a free agent, you then have the possibility and options to not only shop around in the NWSL, but to go overseas and make a lot of money and do things differently. So that's probably where the payment comes in, Jenny, because she had that in her back pocket and good negotiation skills to say, hey, if, as a free agent, I can shop myself around. But it's not that long of a contract, right? We just saw Mallory Swanson sign a huge contract in Chicago for 4 years with a fifth-year option. There's just been big contracts out there. This one is big in the dollar signs way, not necessarily in the years way, which is incredibly smart for a player like Sophia Smith, who is hands down in the prime of her career right now. And she can take steps to hopefully get Portland back on the winning track of things, especially this season.
Yeah, I think it's also, I think it's got to keep a club like Portland on its toes, honestly. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is by no means a long contract for So Smith. I know folks are going to be happy that she's back, but those seasons go by in a blink. Mm-hmm. So I love that that this contract is so pro player. I think it is absolutely brilliant, smart, the way she and her own personal team, management team, kind of tackled this. So we'll see. I mean, this is year one of new ownership. We'll see what they continue to do to provide all the appropriate resources into the club that will, you know, be necessary to maintain a world-class talent like Sophia Smith beyond 2025.
Yeah, I think it's incredibly important. I used to work for the Portland Thorns, and one thing I will say is that the Thorns atmosphere is the best thing that I had seen in women's soccer, in our country. Obviously, there's new ownership and there's changes to be made, but I then went to go work for another NWSL team, and that was not the case. Obviously, we've been seeing rising numbers within attendance and stuff, but just like, you don't want to give up playing for a club that has that kind of support. That support is that Rose City Riveters, I believe they're called. It's just absolutely unreal and amazing. Let's go ahead and take a quick break, and we'll have the NWSL weekend preview when we come back.
Did you know that while over 60% of Americans dream of starting their own business, less than 20% of them take the first step? The reason? Building a business is tough. Tailored Brands is simplifying the business journey. From launching and managing to growing your business, Tailored Brands isn't just another tool. It's your online business partner from launch to success. With Tailored Brands, building your dream business becomes an effortless experience. Their comprehensive platform guides you through every step, ensuring you have everything you need in one place. From LLC formation to bookkeeping, invoicing to acquiring licenses and permits, and even setting up your bank account, Tailored Brands handles it all seamlessly. And our listeners will receive 35% off Tailored Brands LLC formation plans using our link, taylorbrands.com/CBS Sports. That's TAILORBRANDS.com/CBS Sports. So start your business journey today with Tailored Brands.
NWSL weekend preview. Let's go ahead and go through the matches that will be played. Orlando Pride will be playing against Chicago Red Stars on Friday at 7 p.m. Eastern time. San Diego Wave is up against Seattle Reign Friday at 10 p.m. And KC Current against Angel City. North Carolina Courage against Gotham FC. Portland Thorns will be playing Racing Louisville Bay FC against Houston Dash. And then Washington Spirit plays the Utah Royals. We've all kind of picked a match to go ahead and preview here. Let's go. Lisa, KC Current against Angel City. Will you get us started so it's not my voice for too long?
Jenny, we love your voice. But yes, I'm excited about this Kansas City Angel City matchup Saturday afternoon back in Kansas City at CPKC Stadium. And they sold it out, Kansas City, the first time they played there. So I'm expecting a big crowd. I really am excited for this one. Kansas City has never beaten Angel City. Last year, Angel City went 2-0 against them in 2023. There's a lot on the line for both of these sides because Kansas City, they're at the top of the standings. They're coming off two straight weeks of wins over Portland and San Diego. So not easy teams by any means. Kansas City has conceded goals, though. They've leaked 5 in those two matches, and they've scored 7 with 7 different goal scorers. Kansas City is really explosive on transition. They're really good on second-phase balls into the box, marking up on set pieces. They've got just so many weapons in their attack, whether it's Via Zanarato or Chiwenga, Labonta, Hamilton. The youngster Alex Pfeiffer is in there. There's just so much different pressure that they bring on an attack. When they're in possession and Kansas City has the ball, they really try to be expansive and take up a lot of space on the field, which works when Kansas City keeps the ball, but it does open up some holes for opposition to kind of poke into the possession, because if you can win the ball against a Kansas City side that is really stretched out and looking to possess with the entire width and length of the field, and you can move quickly through those holes, that's where you're going to find opportunities to score. And we saw that for Portland against this Kansas City side in the opening week. But with Chiwenga getting in and behind, it's going to be a tough day for Angel City's back line. Meanwhile, on the other side, Angel City, they've just got 1 point in two matches to start this season. They came off a 1-0 loss to Bay FC to open the NWSL season, and they outshot them 11-6. They outpossessed them. They had 12 corners. They doubled Bay's chances in that match, yet they couldn't find the back of the net at all. Bay FC holding on, but Angel City, you have to be more clinical in those opportunities. And the biggest question is, how is Angel City going to score this year? Because even their draw with Orlando, it came off a penalty kick goal. That was it. So can they get run of play goals and chances? It defensively, marking up on set pieces and transition moments against Kansas City is going to be crucial for Angel City. But they have the moments, right? Like, so they haven't scored one goal off a penalty, but none in the run of play, but they have 79 touches in the attacking box this season. The only other team in the NWSL to have more than them is North Carolina with 80 touches. So of those 79 touches in their attacking end, three Angel City players, Alyssa Thompson, Messiah Bright, and Kennedy Fuller, have 12 touches in the attacking box this season. So they are getting those moments. They're getting into their attacking end, but they can't score and they can't find the back of the net. So I am really excited for this matchup, and Kansas City at home, I think, is just a different beast this year playing at CPKC Stadium.
I will say, Lisa, you were giving us those touch points with Angel City and all of those stats, but Kansas City is on fire right now, especially in front of their home crowd, like you mentioned there. And Chiwenga is my new favorite player, so we're going to make sure to watch that and see if she scores a goal. Like I tweeted beforehand in the last game, I was like, she's going to score, and then she didn't end up scoring. So we're going to continue to follow that. Darian, well, you got to start it on Portland Thorns against Louisville.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this game. I think both of these teams, you know, Portland should be, this is another team too that I'm like, they should be doing better than they are. I think you have So Smith, who leads the line. She creates something out of nothing. She's was really unlucky to have her goals taken away in the last match against Gotham. But to me, I think the team needs to catch up to her and Weaver, and they need to be a little bit more connected. I want to see Jess Fleming and Olivia Moultrie differentiate their game a little bit. I think it's a little too like and like, where we're not seeing enough of going forward. Somebody in playing balls through in a more dynamic way that's connecting and setting up the forwards, who are goal scorers. They're hungry to go one-on-one to be fed into the attacking third. Ayo. But we're not seeing that. And I think Portland has that potential. And I hope we see it against Louisville. On the other hand, Louisville, Bevianez, first time coach in the end, head coach in the NWSL, I think they're starting to find their groove. I think we're seeing them build from their first game to their second game. And you know what? The star for me is Raylan Turner. Not just because she's a Bruin, but six shots in the last match. That's an insane stat.
Yeah, that's more insane.
Than teams had. Yeah, that's something than other NWSL teams had in total. But I think, you know, Louisville, they're trying to find their identity. We're seeing it happen a little bit more. They love a tie. This team loves a tie. I want to see them get a win. I want to see them challenge Portland. I think, you know, they have a really good threat with Kanu, Bear, and Turner up top. They have a solid back line, but they need a little bit, they just need to finish. I think once they start scoring goals, it's going to happen more and more for this team. This is one of my dark horses when we were previewing the NWSL earlier with attacking third a couple episodes ago. But I'm looking forward to this game. I think they're going to ask, both of these teams are going to ask things of each other that's going to propel them for the rest of the season. But both of them more defined playing style, more chemistry together. Portland needs to catch up to Smith. I think Louisville, they're coming together, and it's going to be a good challenge against Portland.
Yeah, Portland definitely needs to show their history and what they're made of and catch up to that Sophia Smith, like you mentioned there, Darian. Great stuff. My match was San Diego Wave against Seattle Reign, and this is a cool stat. When you combine regular season, postseason, and Challenge Cup play, the Wave and Reign have faced each other 9 times in the last 2 seasons. Seattle winning 7 and the other two ending in a draw. I don't think that that's how this is going to end up. I'm just looking through the lineups for the last couple of games, and San Diego Wave, we talked about it on last episode, but Van Eggman and Doniak combining, obviously Savannah McCaskill, just an absolute talent that I've always been a huge fan of, and Alex Morgan up top for them. Also, just like Alex Morgan being named to the Olympic roster, giving her another boost in club play to kind of prove that she is that girl still, is good to see. Jakobsen with the goal last week as well. And then you look at the Seattle Reign. I don't think that they have as much as San Diego in terms of players, right? And that doesn't mean that they're not going to win. That doesn't mean that they don't have the ability, because when you play as a team, it always, not always, but it would be or overtake individual players, shall we say. So, you know, you're talking about Quinn, Fishlock, James, G, which a huge fan of G and the goal that she scored. But I think the bigger ones are Jordan Heidema and Bethany Balser up top for Seattle. And how do they start to get on the score sheet more and more and more? I know Bethany scored off of the penalty kick last week, but making sure that they find ways to get Heidema in the box and get her head on a ton of goals, because that's how we see that she scores goals. Yeah, Lisa.
Yeah, I have a really fun stat for you, Jenny. I love little niche stats that I find when I'm researching some games. So in San Diego's loss to Kansas City last weekend, San Diego had 35 open play crosses. 35, and they didn't score on any of them. Their goal came off a corner kick, but that is the second most in NWSL match history. 35 crosses, like, that is insane.
Wasn't but on the attack total, that's crazy.
Yeah, but this is open play crosses.
Wild.
So like, yes, 39 total, but that is insane.
It's a wild stat.
You got to be finishing those though. So One of the big things that both teams are coming off of losses, San Diego losing to Kansas City Current and Seattle losing to the Chicago Red Stars. So it's going to be interesting. You know, how do both teams kind of bounce back from this? Lisa, with a great stat there, with the ability to come back. And Sandra has our last matchup that we're covering today. Bay FC, the new inaugural team under Albertine Montoya, against Houston Dash. Talk us through this one, Sandra.
I was going to say, no love for the expansion sides this time. It's probably because there's not a lot of stats to go off or history to go off with an expansion side. So here's a stat for you. Bay FC has literally never played Houston Dash before in their entire existence, but it's happening this week. But there's some little things in here that I want to look for, and maybe not so little, depending on who you ask, because Houston Dash have probably some of the more exciting players, attacking players in the league, but we are witnessing another slow start to their season. They have scored, really, when you think about it, 0 goals in these opening 2 weeks. That one goal with North Carolina was credited as an own goal, so a forced own goal. So they haven't found the back of the net quite yet. So can they do that against an expansion franchise that is really kind of taking their first steps as well into kind of establishing themselves in the league, going ahead to get together and establish their own club identity? I would like to see it, but I actually don't know if it's going to happen against Bay FC, because this one is at home. There's a lot to play for him. There's going to be a lot of excitement. They're already putting out the fact that it's going to be a massive crowd. And I think something else that's happening with Bay FC is we're starting to see week to week how they continue to grow. They had a little bit of an adjustment that they made. Alex Loera not dressed for that game. Albertine Montoya making some adjustments in the middle there. He has already said that she's back with the team, practicing, training. They're thrilled to have her back. And Asiya Oshwala has arrived to NWSL and has looked like seamless in her entirety here. So I'm also looking at this as, again, maybe this is going to be another one of those games, another one of those weeks where Bay FC shows us what they're building, because Dana Castellanos is a player. I think that we were all excited to see them make that signing, but I think we're starting to see maybe a player who had spent some time in Europe and had some mixed minutes across a couple different leagues come to the NWSL, get consistent starts, and just had to sub out. So I think we're seeing some good early things here. I can't wait to see what it looks like when it's more consistent. So maybe this is a week where we get to see her continue to build. And I think Bay FC might have enough with them to kind of take some things. I mean, it's for Houston, don't want to say that they're not building. I think it's safe to say conceding 5 goals in 1 week and then picking up a scoreless shutout could be viewed as a silver lining, but that's tough. We need to see so much more. Yeah, I mean, we're all grasping for straws here, I think, right now.
I get it. It's early. How much can they rely on Jane Campbell to get them?
You could kind of see in the previous match, it almost looked like here we go again.
Yeah.
You know, it almost sort of looked like that was the body language a little bit. Like, and like, absolute pro. Jane Campbell's an absolute pro. Like, okay, here it is. The game's coming to me. Give it to me. But how often is this going to happen this year with Jane Campbell and the Houston Dash? So it's obvious that there are some holes there in the back line. And I think by extension, we can see that there's probably some holes there in the midfield. And Bay FC might have enough footage here over 2 weeks for the picking. So I'm looking for Bay FC to maybe come out with a win in this one.
It could be one of those seasons where Jane Campbell breaks records with how many saves she's has, but like that's not breaking always her own
record. That's not always a great record you want.
It's not a great record because that means you're just getting pummeled all day.
Well, and she'd be breaking all of her own records from last season. Yeah. They it looked for Houston for me, Sandra, I completely agree. It's
sounds like as I chose the right game because everybody's got something to say about Houston.
Yeah, but it's you never as a player like that is not somewhere where you want that to be your fallback. That's where you guys go for comfort is 100%. How you play is you rely on your keeper. You just kind of take all the punches and hope for transitions and those opportunities. They have a good enough team. They can be better. They're just in this funk that Orlando's also one of those teams that gets stuck in that weird sort of we're not really going to connect and play. We can't really get out of it. What's the solution? And you expect them to play a certain way.
This like is the last
thing.
This
fallback. I don't know. I don't know how else to put it.
This is the last thing I'll say about this. So I remember watching a struggling Chicago Red Stars team last year, and they walked away with 3 losses. And we've got a Houston Dash team with no goals, a draw, and a loss so far. And no team can necessarily lose their season in the opening 4 to 6 weeks of a regular season, but they can definitely make things hard on themselves in other stages and phases of the season. So I'm not saying this is a must-win game for Houston, but if you are the established side going up against a new franchise, you need to go in there and take someone's lunch
money. Point.
But Sandra, that's such a hard one going to Bay FC. I think it's a sold-out crowd as well, going to the home. And coming off of something that, you know, mentally is tough to have been, you know, not being able to get the wins. And you know that because you experienced it, you know, rooting for Chicago.
And we'll see the head coaching battle too, how that'll come out.
Well, Fran Alonso and Albert
King and Fran Alonso. So we'll see.
Well, Fran Alonso did say that he had the wrong tactical game plan in one of those matches that they ended up losing. So we will see how he changes things up against Bay FC. Albertine Montoya, obviously someone who was on our show and shared his tactics and what he wants his team to do. We're going to wrap this up here on Attacking Third. That was the full hour. Ladies, thank you so much. Great show. Great conversations about Women's Champions League, all the news, and, of course, the NWSL preview that we're excited to look and keep track of.
I love it, Jenny. And go Marquette in March Madness Sweet 16.
I knew you were going to say something. Okay, love to hear it. Love to hear it. All right, ladies, we will be back on Monday to cover everything that had happened in the world of football and women's soccer. We'll see you guys later. Thank you.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.